The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Where to begin? Wow, we could talk about subversive education. Here in the great state of North Carolina, in my backyard, actually, Wake County, we could start there. We could talk about the Virginia School Board. Now, coming off of that story, subversive education, here in North Carolina, which is where most of you are, I'm going to go into an example of what you do about that. That they're doing a great job in Virginia coming to a teacher's aid. His name is Tanner Cross. He was suspended after a speech criticizing the school's proposed policies surrounding gender. So what do you do with that? So we'll talk about that. Maybe we can talk about the University of Rochester with pediatric COVID vaccine trials. This is with Moderna and Pfizer and using 6-month-old babies, for me as a brand-new grandfather, on May 28th, the thought of using a 6-month-old baby to do a second or third phase trial for a COVID, for an experimental COVID vaccine, is just infuriating to a whole nother level. So there's that. We'll talk about that today. Hey, smile, everybody. Jesus is still on the throne and rules the universe with his feet up. And then the USA Today printed an op-ed by some very smart doctors going after the CDC. What in the world is happening? And then I've got George Barna is going to be on in a couple weeks. Barna Research, but now he runs a cultural research center, and he's working with the FRC. Cultural Research Center, he's doing all kinds of great studies. So a couple of really alarming things there, really sad of what's going on with millennials in our country with respect to their worldview, and something that most of them are following called moralistic therapeutic deism. Doesn't that sound nice? That won't fit on a bumper sticker, but it'll definitely fit in your brain and mess you up and the future of the country. But once again, God's on the throne, so chill out. But instead of going to all that first, let's spend some time with Kamala Harris. Shall we? She's not exactly having a great week. She's not having a great 10 days. Her little foreign trip down to meet with the president or whatever he's called of Guatemala. Not going well because, let's face it, and we need to pray for people like her, by the way. I'm reminding myself primarily. But how do you pick a vice president? 101, apparently. This is what we do now in 2020 and 2021. How to pick a vice president? 101, you make sure you have a really crowded primary field, 14, 15, 16 candidates. And then the first one to drop out, because they're obviously the worst candidate, the least likely to get any traction, the first one that drops out, you put a little gold star next to their name and you say, there it is. If I win my party's nomination, there's my vice president right there. So she comes back from this train wreck trip. And the more you send her out, the more it's going to be a train wreck. Which is exactly what's going to happen right now, because President Biden just landed in Great Britain on Air Force One, and they're going to be talking to the G7. And this is, I want to just see the faces on the other leaders of the other six nations as Joe Biden attempts to communicate, because that's going to be sad. We need to pray for that guy. But Kamala Harris, then she sits down with Lester Holt, and he wants to talk to her a little bit about the border. You know, Biden put her in charge of figuring out the border problems, I don't know, about 65 days ago. She has yet to have a press conference. And the other thing she has yet to do is make the 2,000-mile track down south to actually see for herself what's going on. So how does she handle it when Lester Holt, of all places, of all people, puts a little pressure on her? Let's play this. This is just the elitist 101 playbook right here. All right, let's play it.
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you...
Oh, please, somebody. Somebody just end my day right there. First of all, Politics 101, Politician 101. We've been to the border. We've been to the border. We've been to the border. Who's we, ma'am? Well, that would be some member of the federal government. I mean, some member of the Biden administration has been there. So she can, quote unquote, accurately say, we've been to the border, not once, not twice, but maybe three or four times. We've been to the border. We've been to the border. We've been to the border. What about you? You haven't been to the border. Well, I haven't been to Europe either. I mean, I've never been to Mars. I've never been to Zimbabwe. And then that laugh.
What do you do with that?
Seriously. I'm trying to be a calm, compassionate, considerate, patient, loving Christian at this moment. But the elitism in the way she handled that, first of all, just flat out playing the politician's game. We've been to the border. Not wanting to answer the question because she knows that she can't answer the question in a way that's going to be helpful. And then, now we're on pace to see about 2.4 million illegal immigrants cross our southern border this year. 2.4 million crossing the southern border into America and then dispersed by the Biden administration. Plus kids in cages and all that nightmare stuff. Sex trafficking, drugs, all that stuff. So there's no way Kamala Harris wants to go anywhere near that border because then you can visually, physically associate her with what's going on. Oh, you've been there. You've seen it. And she would have to talk to border agents and people that are actually on the ground down there. And there's no way on God's green earth that she's going to put herself in that position. Okay? So they're just playing politics. But then, I've never been to Europe, which would be another question as to why we would allow somebody to be the vice president of the United States who could take over and probably will take over as the president. You've never been to Europe? I mean, where have you been? And that's the vice president? Well, I've never been to Europe either. What is that? Here's what it is. And I could play this game for the rest of the show, but I won't because I want my head to stay on my body. Is elitism. So when you confront an elitist, they're going to gaslight you to try to make you think you're crazy or stupid. They're going to denigrate you. Or, like in this case, they're just going to literally laugh it off because you're such an idiot. This is part of gaslighting, too. You're so stupid as to think that I would actually need to go down there and be on the southern border in order to make a difference. Oh, that's so ridiculous. I mean, I've never been to Europe. What is Europe? What's going on in Europe, ma'am, have to do with what's happening on our southern border? What? Wow. Okay, Lord. So let's remember, pray1tim2.org. Go there, because if you're like me, you probably need help praying for these people. I know I do. So let's just pray for this woman. Wow. We'll be right back. Yep. Might seem crazy what I'm about to say, except it isn't. It's just what's going on out there, friends. It's just what's happening. And what's happening is getting more bizarre and more disgusting and more infuriating all the time. That's why I'm going to keep coming back to, I sure hope you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I really, 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 really do. Because unlike Kamala Harris, who will not go to the border, you will go before the king. We all will. Everybody, every single human being that's ever lived will face judgment. It's appointed for men to die once and then face the judgment. Every man, every woman, every child, every person that's ever lived or ever will live will be at the great white throne judgment. Everybody will be there. And your name's either in the book of life, where the book of behaviors, what we did, that book, the book of our works. There's two books. There's that one. And then there's the book of the Lamb's book of life. And if you're in the book of the Lamb's book of life because of your faith in Jesus Christ and you've been born again, then you don't need to worry about the book that lists out all the works because all your works have been dealt with. But if your name is not in the Lamb's book of life, then your name is most assuredly in the book of those works. And every single evil, sinful deed you've committed, word, thought, or deed, things you should have done but didn't do, sins of omission and commission, they're all in there. And those will all be brought before a holy and righteous judge on the judgment day. And you will not survive that. You will be ushered into eternal punishment. And I just hope for your sake that you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if you do, like I say that I do, then even though we talk about these stories that are infuriating, we should be able to stop and pray. We prayed for Kamala Harris during the commercial break on Facebook Live and YouTube Live. So if you want to join us here in the studio, just go to the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook and put a little feet to our faith there. And we prayed for her. I prayed for the best I could. And definitely a double-minded type prayer, because sometimes I really struggle to pray for some of these people. But pray for them we must. And so we do. Okay, so we're going to go from that kind of disgusting, disappointing thing to this. This is far more troubling to me. University of Rochester Medical Center to participate in pediatric COVID vaccine trials. Pediatric. The University of Rochester Medical Center and its referring providers will participate in a SARS-CoV-2 phase 2 and 3 vaccine trial in collaboration with Moderna and Pfizer. This University of Rochester, along with other select academic medical centers, plans to test the vaccine on 200 to 300 volunteers. Now hold that thought. They're calling them volunteers. Among healthy children aged 6 months to 11 years of age. How many? If you're going to stick 300 kids between 6 months and 11 years of age with the currently known as the experimental COVID vaccine, are they really volunteers? If you grab a lab rat out of the cage and then walk to the other side of the lab and stick it full of whatever, did it volunteer? Hey, I need some rat volunteers over here. No, you just plucked them up and used them. So what do you do with a 6-month-old? You pluck it up and you use it. This is like, do we need to talk about the Aztec civilization? Do you want to go all the way back to Molech? What do you want to do here with this? Because all this is child sacrifice. That's all it. Now, hopefully they're not going to be killing them, but they're certainly using them for their own ends, which is idolatry. And then of course, when you read this, I'm like, what kind of parent offers up their child? Hey, you guys need some COVID vaccine volunteers between 6 months and 11 years of age. I got a couple of those. Ooh, over here. I'll virtue signal by using my children as your lab rats, and you can go ahead and stick them and we'll see what happens. The trials for Pfizer will begin enrollment for ages 5 to 11 on June 7th. Right, they're volunteers. Right. When the Moderna trial is expected to start in August, the trials will be critical for demonstrating that the vaccine is safe and generates an immune response in young children. Why does it matter for young children, by the way, if we're going to follow the science, Pope Fauci? These data are necessary because children's immune systems may respond differently to the virus than adults and adolescents. Yeah, hardly any of them get affected by it. Quote, preliminary data show that children have different disease manifestation with COVID, so it's important to test the vaccine specifically in young children to make sure it's safe and works, she said. Why are you going to do this and go down this road when the chances of death for kids 20 and under are statistically zero for COVID and statistically insignificant? The ones statistically speaking, I'm not talking about individuals, because there have been about 250 kids that have died from COVID, and every one of those 250, in case you want to jump down my throat right now, every one of them is a horrendous tragedy, and pray for those families. That's just horrific. And only a few thousand have gotten seriously ill, and that's bad, but they didn't die. And now we're just going to turn other ones into lab rats? When there's absolutely no real scientific justification for that, right? Which takes me into this follow-up story. And this was in the USA Today, which has something to do with the story I just told you about University of Rochester. And we need to pray for this nation. What a nightmare. 6-month-old kids. Babies. But if we kill them in the womb, is this really a shock to anyone? In the USA Today, wow, really? Check this headline. USA Today, there's strange stuff going on now. CDC misinterpreted our research on opening schools. It should loosen the rules now. Keeping schools closed or even partially closed based on what we know now is harming children. This was in USA Today. The recent school reopening guidance released by the CDC and prevention CDC is an example of fears influencing and resulting in misinterpretation of science and harmful policy. Are you listening, Dr. Fauci? In the United States, about half of schools are either in person or a hybrid. President Joe Biden ran on a campaign indicating that science and data would guide his policy. As we approach the anniversary of the first COVID-19 shutdown, this approach is needed more than ever, especially when it comes to schools. Like so many states, these are three different doctors. I'll tell you who they are in a little bit. Like in so many states, California and Illinois schools are being hamstrung by the CDC guidance. The guidance does not take into account the data we have regarding little disease transmission in schools, nor, although the guidance cites the work performed across Wisconsin districts performed by our group and published in the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, does it take that data and new analysis from the data to set it into account? Of course it doesn't. Because that doesn't help the narrative, and it doesn't help the control, and it doesn't feed the fear, right? Which is what they need to maintain control. Keeping schools closed or even partially closed, these doctors say, based on what we know now, is unwarranted, is harming children, and has become a human rights issue. And this is in USA Today, friend. It's amazing. First, listen, think about the other article, University of Rochester sticking six-month-olds with COVID vaccines as part of a trial. Six-month-old. First, these doctors write, children are not at significant risk of poor outcomes from COVID-19. Oh, like that matters. But I've never been to Europe. Actually, I have. As of Tuesday, 288 children have died from the disease in the United States. 288. That's under the age of 20, by the way. Compared with more than 500,000 adults. While the death of any child is devastating, this is similar to the number who dies from influenza each year. Oh, you can't go there, can you? And COVID-19 deaths in children and adolescents are magnitudes smaller than deaths from suicide, some now driven by school closure. Coronavirus in children can cause potentially dangerous complications, but this is very rare and nearly all cases are treatable. Really? Then why are we experimenting on six-month-old babies? What is happening? We'll pick it up there when we come back. This is Steve Noble. You wonder why. Hey, Steve, what's with like this peppy, upbeat bump music you use? Look at what we talk about often. These really heartbreaking, infuriating, terrible things going on in our nation and around the world. So even me, your sometimes happy host, I just need that little bump every once in a while. Can I hear anything like cheerful? Because oftentimes when you spend as much time looking at the news and what's going on in the world like me, you're like, you just swim in this garbage all the time. So that's why for me, I'm like, oh yeah, I like this song. Okay. Wow. It's a distraction. Yes. Yes, it is. Okay, back to this article. This was in USA Today. I was just saying for my friends on Facebook Live, where we have a conversation during the commercial break, and we praise the Lord for our Christian radio partners, most of whom are across the great state of North Carolina. And we praise the Lord for that. But while you're listening to commercials there on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, we kind of hit the pause button on what we're talking about on the air, and I'll go a little deeper during the commercial break or talk about something altogether different. And it's a little bit more of a personal connection. And so if you want to join us, just if you're a Facebook person, or you can go to YouTube, just go to the Steve Noble Show page on either one, and you can join us here in the studio. But I was just saying about USA Today, like what's with all these and people pushing back on Kamala Harris, like Lester Holt, and all of a sudden, you know, changes in COVID policy and Comrade Cooper here in North Carolina, who said we're not going to get rid of the mask mandate until we're at 66% or whatever vaccinated. And we were at 47% vaccinated. And he goes, okay, no more mask mandate. Then, of course, we still got to put the kids in masks when they go to school. But if you go to a Carolina Hurricanes game with our governor, you don't have to wear a mask there. Because, you know, kids are far more susceptible to COVID problems than older people. Right. Oh, yeah, sorry. That's exact opposite. Sorry. So that's what's going on out there, right? So that's why I'm going through this. This is in USA Today. So I think this whole, a lot of this COVID thing, just like we're seeing now, everybody's playing along with, maybe something did happen in that lab in Wuhan. Yeah, before, if it's Orange Man bad, you have to be against everything he says. That's Trump. So, but then now he's gone, and now they know that Fauci emails are coming out. More stuff's going to start coming out, and you got to start covering your rear end a little bit, mainstream media, lamestream media, people on the left, the machine, the swamp, whatever. And by the way, this is not new, just like Solomon said. There's nothing new under the sun. There really isn't. You can see it when you go back into the Old Testament and watch what the various kings did. Yahweh, humana, 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 trying to cover themselves as they just completely disobey their Lord. So not a whole lot different these days. So I'm going through this USA Today article where they're saying the CDC misinterpreted our research on opening schools. They're misleading people. By the way, who's writing this article for the CDC? Who are these idiots, these Trump maniacs, right? Well, it's four doctors, Dr. Tara O. Henderson, professor of pediatrics and interim chief of pediatric hematology, oncology, and stem cell transplantation at the University of Chicago Comer Children's Hospital. So, and then she got the 2018 Presidential Leadership Scholar, so obviously she's an idiot. Dr. Monica Gandhi is a professor of medicine and associate division chief at the Division of HIV, Infectious Diseases, and Global Medicine at University of California, San Francisco. So with all those credentials, why would we listen to her? Dr. Tracy Beth Hoag is a physical medicine and rehabilitation specialist and epidemiologist at University of California, Davis, and sports medicine at Northern California Orthopedic Associates. Another idiot. So just disregard what that doctor has to say, obviously. And then Dr. Daniel Johnson, professor of pediatrics, chief of pediatric infectious diseases, and academic pediatric at the University of Chicago Comer Children's Hospital, a member of the Illinois Department of Public Health COVID School Workshop, and co-lead of the Illinois Chapter American Academy of Pediatrics Task Force on the Return to Schools. So why would we listen to these idiots? That would be because they're good medical professionals that actually, Pope Fauci, follow the science. So then they're talking about what I was, while I was referencing, why are we sticking six-month-old babies with the COVID experimental vaccines, which is what the other story was about, University of Rochester. Well, here's some facts, and I know those are pesky. First, children are not at significant risk of poor outcomes from COVID-19. Really? As of Tuesday, 288 children have died from the disease in the United States. That's 18 and under, which, by the way, there's about 60 million of those total. So that's 288 children out of 60 million. Compared with more than 500,000 adults. While the death of any child is devastating, I agree. You should too. I'm sure you do. This is similar to the number who dies from influenza each year. Oh, you can't make that comparison. You can never compare COVID to influenza, right? That's against the law somewhere. And COVID-19 deaths in children and adolescents are magnitudes smaller than deaths from suicide. Some now driven by school closure. Coronavirus in children can cause potentially dangerous complications. These doctors aren't arguing that, but this is very rare and in nearly all cases treatable. Second, viral spread is minimal in schools with appropriate safety precautions, even in communities with a high disease prevalence. Oh, well, then more facts. Third, no science supports mandating 6 feet of distance with children wearing masks. Fourth, despite fear-mongering regarding variants in America, we have not seen evidence that variants are spreading through in-person schools. France, Spain, Switzerland, and Belgium have demonstrated that K-12 schools can remain fully open safely, even as the United Kingdom variant becomes dominant. Moreover, masks and over 3 feet distancing will protect against variants like it does against all forms of the virus. I would disagree there. As Fauci himself said, yeah, those masks you buy at the store, those blue ones, they don't do anything. And so they go on. They talk about lost wages for families, translates into poverty, eviction, and food insecurity. Why would we care about that? Because I've never been to Europe. Right, Kamala? So, so we got to keep the heat on. Keep talking about these things. Now Facebook, social media is relaxing their policies a little bit. You can actually question it as you've been doing the whole time, and you should continue. So keep banging the gong on this stuff. Keep banging the gong. Accountability. What kind of government have you given us, sir? Representative Republic, if you can keep it. One of our founding fathers said. Okay. Talking about kids, how about this one? We've talked regularly, and I will continue to talk regularly, about how critical race theory is resegregating the country and is destroying our future, okay? So here we are back in Wake County, North Carolina, where I live. North Carolina's largest school district launches a campaign against whiteness in educational spaces. Excellent. This is by Christopher Rufo, who's a contributing editor of City Journal and director at the Discovery Institute's Center on Wealth and Poverty. Last year, the Wake County Public School System held an equity-themed teachers conference with sessions on whiteness, microaggressions, racial mapping, and disrupting texts, encouraging educators to form equity teams in schools and push the new party line, anti-racism. The February 2020 conference, attended by more than 200 North Carolina public school teachers, began with a land acknowledgement, a ritual recognition suggesting that white North Carolinians are colonizers on stolen Native American land. Next, the all of you, by the way. Next, the superintendent of Wake County Public Schools, Kathy Moore, at the time, introduced the day's program and shuffled teachers to breakout sessions across 8 rooms. Freelance reporter A.P. Dillon obtained the documents from the sessions through a public records request. Amen. At the first session, whiteness in ed spaces, meaning education, school administrators provided 2 handouts on the norms of whiteness. These documents claim that, quote, white cultural values include denial, fear, blame, control, punishment, scarcity, and one-dimensional thinking. According to notes from the session, the teachers argued that whiteness perpetuates the system of injustice and that the district's whitewashed curriculum was doing real harm to our students and educators, as opposed to critical race theory, right? The group encouraged white teachers to challenge the dominant ideology of whiteness and disrupt white culture in the classroom through a series of transformational interventions. Now, where do the kids or you pesky parents come into this conversation? You pesky parents, right? Because what do you know? Especially white ones. Parents, according to the teachers, should be considered an impediment to social justice. When one teacher asked, how do you deal with parent pushback? The answer was clear. Ignore parental concerns and push the ideology of anti-racism directly to the students. Quote, you can't let parents deter you from the work, the teachers said. Quote, white parents' children are benefiting from the system and are not learning at home about diversity, LGBTQ, race, etc. Therefore, teachers have an obligation to subvert parental wishes and beliefs. Any pushback, the teachers explained, is merely because white parents fear that they are going to lose something and find it hard to let go of power and privilege. Are you listening, white parents? This isn't an aberration, Christopher Rufo writes. In fact, the district's official equity and action plan encourages teachers to override parents in the pursuit of anti-racism. Quote, equity leaders should have the confidence to take risks and make difficult decisions that are rooted in their values, the document reads. Their values. Huh. Even in the face of opposition, equity leaders can draw on a heartfelt conviction for what is best for students and families. So, in other words, the school should displace the family as the ultimate arbiter of political morality. Right? That's what they're saying. It's not, we can't let the parents mess these kids' morality up or their worldview. We have to do what we believe is right and teach critical race theory. We have to teach that everything is about skin color. And if you have the wrong skin color, you're essentially doomed because you're a person of color. And if you're white, you're the aggressor. You're the oppressor. You're evil. Even if you don't feel evil, even if you don't do anything evil, you are evil based on the color of your skin. They are resegregating the country. This place will burn as we teach more and more of that. Are most teachers decent people? Yes. But are a lot of them trouble? Obviously. Get involved. We'll be right back. Days of the singer-songwriters. They didn't have to know how to dance. They didn't have to look good on camera. They just were really talented. Can I get an amen from all you that remember those days? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. So we were talking about the subversive education thing and all the crazy critical race theory and whiteness training and all that mess. Here in Wake County, which is where I'm in, North Carolina, or the Raleigh area. But it's all over the country, okay? I posted another story just the other day about Charlotte. But it's all over the country, okay? So whether you live here or somewhere else, doesn't matter. It's probably happening in your backyard, and you need to be aware of it because that effort, critical race theory, which, by the way, we need to have difficult conversations about U.S. history because U.S. history is complicated, just like probably your history is complicated and my history is complicated in terms of the good, the bad, and the ugly, before Christ and after Christ, okay? So when you look at a country's history, it's the same thing as dealing with your history or my history. There's some great things and there's some really disturbing and disappointing things. But you look at critical race theory and it's resegregating the country. And then we just judge each other purely based on the color of our skin. And we make all kinds of assumptions about everybody. And we're doing that to little kids. We don't teach them how to think. We teach them what to think. That's called indoctrination. So that was subversive education. So make sure you're getting them, especially if you have kids or grandkids in the public school system. You got to get in there. It's like if you had somebody, hey, who was that just went in your house? Well, he's a known, potentially a child molester. Oh, okay. No, if you know there's a potential for some serious trouble in a situation with children, you should get in there. So if you're not involved in your child's public school education or grandchild's education, you should be. You need to get involved. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Get involved. So here's what you do. This is a great example. This was on Fox News just earlier today. Virginia school board meeting explodes as members face backlash for suspension of Tanner Cross. Well, what did he do wrong? Well, he criticized some of the gender stuff. So Virginia teacher Byron Tanner Cross on outpouring of support Tuesday as public commenters blasted a school board's decision to suspend him after his now viral comments about gender. So remember Edmund Burke, all that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. So do the opposite. Do something. Show up and speak up. The dramatic meeting at the Loudoun County Public Schools Board was full of mic drop moments and testy confrontations over issues plaguing the school district. Many public commenters either backed Cross or criticized the school board over critical race theory. Quote, "Where is your regard for our freedom of speech?" asked parent Rachel Pisani, who said she was a mother of three in Loudoun County. "When I saw a teacher express an opinion and suspended for expressing his religious beliefs, I could no longer stay silent," she said. "When did it become acceptable to be tolerant only when someone expresses a view that we agree with? When did it become appropriate to silence those that hold Christian biblical views just because you don't? When did it become appropriate to allow the school board, I don't know who you think you are, but it's not appropriate. It's not allowable to silence, bully, or dismiss our views. Amen." Due to a time constraint, her mic was cut off, but she kept speaking and received raucous applause, flouting Chairwoman Brenda Sheridan's request to use jazz hands. That's funny. After that speech, Sheridan called for a recess and told the audience to find its decorum. Hey, you better quit being mad and going over your time limit. You guys are like mentally and emotionally abusing our children. I don't think decorum really comes into play right now when I'm trying to help secure the future of our children to be able to think straight, normal, healthy. Amplifying the tension, audience members repeatedly flouting her request prompted multiple reminders from the chair. Another female told the board, quote, "Even being threatened with termination for simply speaking one's opinion creates a culture of fear and silence, and this does not help anyone on either side of the aisle." Great point. Some educators also expressed concern as they held conservative views on gender and religion. Teacher Monica Gill told the board, "Its suspension of Cross and other actions resemble totalitarianism, not the Constitution." Good point. She added, "First and foremost, I'm a Christian. What is most important? We live in truth, not lies. We look at character, not skin color. We love our Lord and we love others. Know this, we will not yield," she said. "We will not let you have our souls or the souls of our children." Cross sparked an uproar last month, the teacher, when he told the school board he wouldn't affirm that a biological boy can be a girl and vice versa because it's against my religion. It's lying to a child, it's abuse to a child, and it's sinning against our God. So he took a Christian perspective and stance, which, by the way, isn't illegal even if you work for the government. By the way, if you can find the words separation of church and state or a wall of separation of church and state in the Constitution, I'll give you $5,000 in cash. Just days after that speech, Cross was told in a letter not to come on the school's premises because he's dangerous. The letter vaguely stated the school district was investigating, quote, "allegations that you engaged in conduct that has had a disruptive impact on the operations of his school." Oh, you mean he disagreed with your crazy worldview? That's disruptive. Good. Then disrupt it. Disrupt it all day long. And again, when people say we need to keep our kids in public schools so they can be salt and light, my first question is, okay, so are you telling me your child's like a little evangelist at school and is getting into heated debates with their teachers about Christian worldview and secular humanism and that kind of stuff? No, then don't. This isn't on the kids. This isn't on your third grader to fight. It's on you. It's on me. I do what I can from here. I support organizations that I can. Like the North Carolina Teachers Alliance, they were just on recently, conservatives, giving voice to conservative, kind of normal thinking teachers in North Carolina. I give them a voice. I give them the platform. I share whatever platform I have. And I speak about it regularly. You show me your faith by what you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do. What are you doing? You have to disrupt this stuff for the sake of our children. Just like if you have a parent If you know somebody that's in this University of Rochester Medical Center vaccine trials that's going to allow them to put an experimental COVID vaccine in their six-month-old, their one-year-old, their four-year-old, their eight-year-old, you should get in their grill. Lovingly, but get in their grill for love of them, love of their child, and love of the Lord. Wow. So what does the future hold? I'll finish with this. Wow. All right, Cultural Research Center at the Arizona Christian University is run by George Barna. Barna started Barna Research. A great man, very humble, very smart. He's going to be on in a couple of weeks, but he just released this huge American worldview inventory. One of the things that's in here is the seismic generational shift in worldview. Millennials seek a nation. Millennials are, right now, they're between 18 and 36 year olds. So pretty much, I'm 55. My kids are pretty much millennials. Our youngest is a Gen Z, because she's 16. But the other three are millennials, 18 to 36. So they seek a nation without God, Bible, and churches. A majority of Americans, regardless of their generation, consider themselves to be Christian, ranging from a low of 57% of millennials to a high of 83% among builders. That's the oldest generation. Okay, they consider themselves to be Christian. If you consider yourself to be a Christian, are you a Christian? Of course not. The new research revealed that across all four generations, the category in which Americans are least likely to think and act biblically is the dimension of Bible truth and morals, particularly amongst millennials, okay, 18 to 36-year-old. The millennial spiritual revolution, George Barna is calling it. There are more than two dozen examples of millennials being substantially more likely than any other generation to reject biblical principles in favor of more worldly spiritual perspectives and practices. So if you think the future of America looks good, you're wrong based on this. Millennials, people born between 85 and 2002, are far more likely than any other generation to, here's the following, here's some things they're more likely to define success in terms of happiness, personal freedom, or productivity without oppression. That's how they do it. They consider abortion performed to reduce personal, economic, or emotional discomfort to be morally acceptable. Most of them, millennials, consider premarital sex with someone expected to be their future spouse to be morally acceptable. They deem reincarnation a real possibility. While 57% of millennials call themselves a Christian, most of them believe in reincarnation. Can you explain that? Be liberal regarding fiscal and social policies. They champion liberal theology. They want to be among the don'ts, people who either do not know if God exists, do not believe that he exists, or do not care if he exists. Millennials were also much less likely than Americans from older generations to hold numerous positions such as being deeply committed to practicing the religious faith. Nope, not millennials. Believing that the universe was designed, created, and is maintained by God. Nope, not millennials. Believing that human beings were created by God in his image but are undermined by personal sin and therefore need to be redeemed through Jesus Christ. Nope, they're not having much of that. Accepting the idea of original sin. Millennials aren't doing that. Embracing the Bible as the primary source of moral guidance. Obviously not. Accepting the notion of God being the all-knowing, all-powerful, and just creator of the universe who still rules the universe today. Nope. Considering Satan to be real and influential being. Nope. Millennials, no thank you. Identifying as Christian. Half of them say, flat out say, nope. While 4 out of 10 people 55 or older can be classified as born-again Christians based on their beliefs about personal salvation, just 1 out of every 6 millennials, or 16%, meets that criteria. So what do they believe in? Horoscopes, get even with those who offend or harm them. That's defensible. Allowing people to own property facilitates economic justice. That's why a lot of them just rent. The Bible is ambiguous in what it teaches about abortion. How convenient. On and on and on it goes. Millennials, willing to try anything at least once, 66%. Humans development over time from less advanced forms, 54%. Reincarnation, very real possibility, 51%. Personally receive guidance from your horoscope, 35%. Individual ownership, on and on and on it goes. So what do you do? Well, you disciple. You share the gospel, because if they truly become converted, the Holy Spirit's going to do a work in their hearts and their minds. But what do? Share the gospel. Disciple. Engage. That's why I teach high school age homeschoolers. That's why I'm adding U.S. history to my course load this fall to teach high schoolers U.S. history. Honestly, you do whatever you can, and you pray for them, and you share the gospel. We got a lot to do, friends. But thankfully, our Lord and Savior is on the throne. This is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.